The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The European Parliament has passed the new Pact of Migration and Asylum. Included in the pact is the identification of asylum seekers, accelerated border procedures, the resettlement of refugees, to name but some of its provisions. Joining me now to talk about this is Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP representing Ireland South. Billy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we read that there was growing opposition from both right and left. So maybe you can outline for us from your perspective, what were the right's concerns and what were the left's concerns?
Well, I mean, look, the right will always argue that there should be no form of immigration. I mean, look, the right, and particularly the extreme right, you know, are very aggressive on this particular issue. And you can see that happening in terms of, you know, attacks on migrants themselves, attacks on places where migrants are being housed. So, I mean, they are just basically for Fortress Europe that, you know, keeps Europe white, and there's no point in us putting it in any other way. So, I mean, the extreme far right are very, very severe in their views on this issue. On the left, then, of course, you have the exact opposite, where they believe that there should be open borders and that everybody that wants to come in should be able to come in. So this particular proposal that's now legislated, you know, is in the centre. It's trying to address what is a very pressing issue, both in terms of the numbers coming, how they're coming in, and also the inability of us to actually process and case.
Okay, and we'll talk about the detail of that in a moment, but how difficult was it to get it through?
Well, it was extremely difficult because we have been negotiating this for a very long period of time. Bear in mind, an awful lot of countries are, you know, are very reluctant to engage with the European Union, per se, in terms of cooperating around the issue of asylum. We saw that as far back as when you had over 1 million Syrian refugees coming across Greece up into the Balkans, where most countries actually put up barriers. In fact, Hungary, Austria and others erected barbed wire fences across their entire southern border, forcing the migrants to go around, and they eventually, most of them were resettled in Germany. So from that point onwards, there was an awareness that something had to be done to address the issue of migration, because there's a continual pressure now on the system. So Poland, Hungary, Austria, many other countries are very reluctant to engage in this and to take their fair share. But eventually it has happened, and I think that this is a good agreement and a compromise. Mm.
Now, is there an issue with the UK not being part of this and no longer being within the EU? Because we have an open border with the UK, and therefore any migrants making their way into the UK via the channel or whatever can make their way into the EU across our border.
Yes, that is a significant challenge. I mean, clearly we don't want a situation where we withdraw from the common travel area that we have agreed with the UK. In fact, there's no legislation underpinning that. It's just a sort of an understanding that happened since independence. So, I mean, it's something that we will have to look at longer term to make sure there's a statutory footing on it, because we don't want a situation where the UK might, for some reason, decide, well, we have to ensure that they have a system of checks on their on their side of the border, which would be a complete infringement. So we are not in Schengen, but the UK does have fairly strong border controls themselves in terms of the number of people that can go into the UK. But it is an issue. Migrants are going into the UK. They're travelling across into Northern Ireland and then down into Ireland itself. So that is an issue. But look, the last thing we want, or that we just couldn't count on, is that there would be checks on the border on the island itself. It just simply couldn't be counted in terms of asking for passports.
Okay, but it is a loophole, shall we say. Now, looking at
it is a slight weakness, yes, in our overall system, but I think there's an understanding, and as I said, the UK does have fairly strong border controls themselves, so, I mean, at least they will have a fair idea as to who's coming into their country. So if they do come into their country, you know, and if they have compatible systems with us, well, then we should be able to ensure that we know where they're coming from.
Now, this is called a new pact, and there are five different measures contained within it. The first one is the screening regulation, which is going to establish a pre-entry procedure which will examine an asylum seeker's profile. It'll collect basic information like the nationality, the age, the fingerprints, the facial image. So you're getting biometric data, no mention of DNA yet or blood type. Health and security checks will also be carried out, they say, presumably for you know, to catch anything like tuberculosis or whatever that might be affecting one of the asylum seekers. But the question, I mean, this is the ambition. How will it be done? If someone arrives with no papers, is that the end of it? You know, you can't prove your nationality, therefore, goodbye.
Well, there's a separate procedure for people who come into the European Union under this proposal, whereby if you don't have documentation or identification, or if you refuse to identify yourself, or if you're, or if they're unable to identify you, they actually detain you. And you know, there's a separate process that will be...
This is under the Asylum Procedures Regulation, the APR. Yes. This is what they'll do if you arrive without identification and whatever story you have to tell about how you're being persecuted in your home country, but no way of proving where you're from other than perhaps your language or ethnicity. They will interrogate you at the border. If they're not happy, they'll keep you under detention and eventually throw you out. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's the idea, and they will fingerprint you, they will assess you, they will obviously do an investigation as to who you are, where you came from. Eventually, you know, assuming they will find out or there's cooperation at some stage, well, then a person can either apply for the process, or if they're deemed to have entered illegally and are not qualifying for asylum, well, then they will be returned to where they came from. That's the idea. So there will be actually detention centres, but there's obligations on member states to ensure that, you know, these detention centres have, you know, reasonable facilities. Like, we can't have a situation where we've tens of thousands of people on islands in the Aegean Sea, in Greece and in Lampedusa, in Italy and the Mediterranean itself, you know, clinging to the side of rocks effectively in appalling conditions. So this is to ensure that we have a fair, firm, humanitarian approach to asylum and migration.
Now, the Eurodac regulation, this is another one of the elements of the pact, and this is an enormous database which is going to store the biometric evidence collected during the screening process, and the idea is to prevent the applicant from filing multiple claims. In other words, if it's applicant A and they apply in several different jurisdictions, well, it'll immediately be thrown up by this Eurodac computer to say, hang on a second, we've got 10 applications in 10 different EU countries from applicant A. I don't know how they'll decide where it should be processed, but at least they'll know.
Yes, I mean, one of the challenges we have at the moment is that we're unsure of, you know, who's in the European Union, how, where they've come from and where they're going to. So you might see from time to time, you know, where a person applies for asylum in Ireland, and then when there's an assessment made of that particular applicant or that applicant's application, they find that they've applied for asylum elsewhere in the European Union as well. So to stop that moving from country to country and applying for asylum, it is also to ensure that there's integrity in the system, that we actually know who's in there and where people are. And I mean, that's critically important for a number of reasons, for the individual themselves, but also from a security perspective, and also to make sure that there's an efficient asylum process. So when you enter the European Union, however you enter, there will be automatically fingerprinting and other identification mechanisms that would be put into the Eurodac database, and then all countries have access to that. So a migrant or an asylum seeker or any individual who comes in for whatever reason will then be identified in this particular database. And I think that's a very positive thing. You do hear people saying, well, we don't know who, where they came from. And I think, you know, a lot of that is absolute scaremongering, because most, if not all of them, are already being fingerprinted as it is. But this will have a centralised system whereby everybody or every state will be able to access this Eurodac database.
Now, the Asylum and Migration Management Regulation, that's another part of all of this, the AMMR. This is establishing what they call mandatory solidarity. So a member state will have three options: relocate a certain number. I don't know how the divvy will be done, presumably on the basis of population size. Or if they refuse to relocate a certain number of people, they throw in €20,000 per applicant they've refused to locate. And the system is designed not to force any country to take more than it deems to be its fair share. Do you think that'll work?
Well, I hope it does, because, I mean, look, there has to be a certain element of solidarity. I mean, what's happening at the moment is under the basic international rules and laws, you know, it's the first port of call where you arrive into the European Union that you must stay and apply for asylum. So obviously, you know, Greece, Spain, Italy, you know, have huge numbers of people coming in there, and there has to be some form of relocation. So this particular issue will assess based on GDP and population countries, and then they will allocate what they believe would be, you know, a solidarity proportion of migrants or asylum seekers. If you can't take them for whatever reason, if you already have, you know, pressures in your own system, well, then you can pay up to 20,000 for the person to remain in the country that they're in, or if they're relocated.
So in other words, you're paying whatever country they're in, you're paying them 20 grand to keep them there rather than take them in.
That's the proposal.
There's a final...
They're talking about 30,000 a year, Pat. That's the estimated relocations per year. That's what Brussels says they envisage being the case. So you can work that out then down to the percentage of the population in Ireland, so 1.3%. So, I mean, it won't be huge numbers.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that's the total number of people coming in, because people who have successful applications...
The solidarity amongst...
Yeah, the solidarity element of turning people down and paying up instead. The final element is crisis regulation, because we did see with the influx of, you mentioned earlier, Syrian refugees and how they were diverted around borders and so on. And the idea is to take account that crises will inevitably arise. And, for example... We don't know what's going to happen in Gaza, but if the Israel occupation of Gaza, eventually, no one's being allowed out at the moment, but eventually it could displace many hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who'll be looking for an alternative destination. But suppose it's Palestine, suppose it's anywhere else, that the block then can trigger emergency measures to cope with that, and that might include. Certain countries closing down their borders, saying, sorry, we can't handle this. The other thing it envisages is, in the case of the pandemic, for example, that you can say, sorry, we're not taking any more people who might be afflicted with COVID or whatever the latest pandemic disease might be. We're not taking them in because they will pose a health risk to our population.
Yes, there is a proposal there, and really what it is about, it's called force majeure regulation. So effectively, in the event of an unforeseen circumstance, be it a war, be it a mass movement of people for whatever reason. So you take, for example, what has happened with regard to Ukraine. So, if all the Ukrainian refugees, now they were given temporary protection, so they come in under a slightly different system, but if they all arrive to Poland, Poland would not be able to cope. So there is a mechanism in place where the European Commission itself can request additional solidarity measures from all member states to deal with some form of unforeseen eventuality. But I think, beyond that, you're not going to have huge numbers coming from countries, way beyond their borders, because, it's just too difficult to get there. But certainly the issue of mass movements of people from nearby, from our neighbourhoods, so it could be across the eastern part because of the war in Ukraine, or, Turkey, Syria, coming across into Greece, they would be the significant.
Or indeed, if Russia moved into some of the Baltic states, although NATO would be pulled into that argument, so we shouldn't go there.
Altogether, we wouldn't be talking about this particular issue anymore.
Is this all going to work? We talk about accelerated procedures at borders and so on. We are notoriously slow in processing people. And the minister earlier this morning was adverting to that, that people are so long in our processes with High Court challenges, Supreme Court challenges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that they've well-established roots. Their kids are in school. They don't know anything about the country from whence their parents hailed. So they're really as Irish as they could be because they came here when they were so young. And it's utterly unfair to turf them out. So, justice delayed is justice denied. People do deserve a quick decision and a fair decision.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point, Pat. And I think the tragedy in all of this over many, many years is our inability to have integrity in the system, and also speed of assessment, application and enforcement of either a person being allowed to stay, or in the event that they're not being allowed to stay, that they would be removed. If you don't have that integrity in the system, then people lose confidence in it.
One final point about airports. People get on planes with documents, get off planes without documents, and present themselves without documents. Is there anything in this law that'll stop that or force airlines to take them back where they came from if they let them on with documents and let them off without documents? There has to be a record. I know GDPR might play into all of this, but there should be photocopies of every document of every passenger on every plane, so that at least people, you could detect maybe the traffickers in this way and maybe give a fair shake to those arriving. But it does seem unconscionable that people get on a plane with a document, get off a plane without a document.
Well, they are getting on the plane with documents. What's happening is the documents have been taken from them, or they're getting...
Yeah, but is the way not to penalise the airlines and say, everybody, you got to have your documents ready before you get off this plane, rather than allow the traffickers to collect them and then get on the next plane back?
Yes,
you've got to be practical about this as well as being idealistic.
There was a court case recently passed in Ireland itself around this particular issue, and I mean there is a case, references.
Yeah, but it's the first one that I can recall. It was an Eritrean man who went to jail,
right,
or has been sentenced to a jail time because arriving without documents, therefore entered illegally, and therefore committed a crime. But you know, people have been doing that forever. This is the first case I can recall that has actually ended up in court.
Yes, but in this proposal under this particular pact, there is a case being made for it with regard to entering into a country without documentation, that there's going to be a fast-track system in place whereby you are detained, and if you can't furnish documentation or if you just will not cooperate, well, then there's a fast-track to assessing and then, returning from where you
are. All right,
been.
Billy.
It is in place as well.
We leave it there. Billy Keller, Fianna Fáil MEP representing Ireland South. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.